Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. It's time once again for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. It's your weekly podcast of true stories told by the people who lived them. We've got all kinds of stories here in Weirdsville. We got weird stories. We've got amazing stories. We've got spooky stories. We've got some bone-chilling stories, goosebumps raising on your arm stories, getting tingly all over stories. We've got some unbelievable, mind-blowing, consciousness-expanding stories. Then they're all true stories, all told by the people who lived them. We're here with you. Who is we? We is me, Adam Beebe, one of your hosts, and the other host with the most, my co-host, my oldest friend in the world, my compadre, my brother at arms, my brother at legs. I don't know what that means. Barry Johnston, the smiling sensei. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you, Professor? How are things?
Things are well. Getting ready for festivities. Year.
Yep.
We're kicking in. Next week is our main holiday season, you know, with the Christmas and whatnot, traveling. I'll be traveling. I know you're probably going to be traveling.
Yep.
So, yeah, just trying to tie up all those loose ends that I need to tie up before I leave, but also try to work as much as possible and, you know, maintain a positive spirit.
Yes.
You know, because I'm getting bogged down by everything. But hey, it's the holidays, right?
Yeah. That's tell me about it for sure, man. It's as we're speaking, it's Monday, and it's been a Monday for me, man. Holy smokes, man!
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, it's just it's life, man. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
It doesn't stop. I am looking forward to the to the holidays in a big way, you know, a little time to catch our breath, but things are going good. I was going to tell you over the weekend I went to go see Gladiator 2 in the theater. It was good. Of course, Denzel is going to be Denzel. You know what I mean? No matter what role he plays, but he was pretty good in it. I thought that the storyline was pretty good, and there was lots of blood and gore and stuff, and so that was fun. I think that's the kind of movie that you kind of want to see in a theater, you know, because of the scale of it, you know.
Yeah,
the,
it's a spectacle. It's a blockbuster.
Yeah, it was cool. They tied in, you know, the first Gladiator in it in a cool way, and yeah, it was good, man. It was a good experience, and you know, we got the bottomless popcorn, which is a nice move, you know, because we always go through at least one of the what do you call it? The
tubs.
The tubs. Yeah, we go.
I got to tell you, when you're talking about Gladiator in ancient Rome, and you said we got the bottomless, I really did not know where the rest of that sentence was going to go.
There is some nudity, but not really, not what it used to be. You know, it was pretty tame in that respect, but it was cool. We've talked before about Rome, and I kind of like history, and it's even though it's, you know, fabricated for the most part, it was cool, man. They had a scene in it, and I'm not giving anything away here, but they had a ship scene in the dome, you know, or in the gladiator
arena,
and that was cool, man. Because
that happened. They did
right.
That stuff.
Yeah,
that's not Hollywood embellishment. That's actually
yeah.
happened back in the day.
Yeah, so, it was cool.
You know, when we think about when we do think about ancient Rome and we think about the ancient world, you know, we think everybody was so primitive and they didn't know anything. They couldn't, you know, they didn't do anything or whatever. But you just look at some of the things that they actually did.
I mean,
look
how
big Rome started off as a city and became, an empire that was over, you know, half the world, and they put roads in and all the construction that they were able to do.
Sewers,
Yeah, and saunas and, you know, all these things, aqueducts, you know, and it was simple engineering, but complex use of simple engineering.
Right.
And they were able to erect, you know, the Colosseum, and they were able to make a flood. And it was, and underneath the floor of the Colosseum, that's where they, you know, that's the it was a basement. It wasn't just there's the floor,
right?
You know, the dust floor. No, there underneath it was the they had animals, and they had holding rooms for the gladiators,
right,
and all sorts of stuff going on underneath it.
Yeah,
the floor. So they had to figure out a way to seal that off, basically, so that it would hold all the water that would float actual real ships.
Right, right. Yeah, it was cool, and you know, they were sophisticated people for the times. I mean, they really were.
Yeah.
And like, you know, partying was a big thing, you know, and if you're wealthy and like you showed your money by, you know, having these big lavish parties for people to come and enjoy wine and exotic foods and things like that. It's just so cool. It was fun. I was going to tell you, and sort of on the same trip, like I got into this YouTube, this rabbit hole where I started watching these people that go and they reconstruct figures from the past. They do like AI images of what they would actually look like.
Mm.
And they did one from, and her name is escaping me, but she was a female ruler of Egypt, and she had been erased from the history records.
Oh, so not Cleopatra, somebody else.
No, it's like her name starts with an H. It's like Hatshepsut or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she is an interesting story, you know, because back then they, you know, to keep the bloodlines clean with the, you know, the rulers, they would inbreed.
Yeah.
Which is very common. But what that caused was issues with procreating, because they oftentimes couldn't have children. She had married her brother and they had a child, which was a girl, and so she couldn't become the ruler. He had a second wife that he had a son with, but he was young when he passed away, so she took over and she became the ruler. And I think she was in power. She died at 50. She was in power for a good 20 years or so while the child was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But they say that her predecessor, the young boy's son, I believe it was his son, that went and destroyed all of the evidence that she was ever really around or in power. But it's interesting because what she did was she erected a lot of statues of herself in a male image.
Right.
As a pharaoh. And that's how people were confused, because they're like, wait a minute, the statues look like her, but they're in male form. So they figured out, you know, how they delved into this stuff and they figured out who she was. But they went back and they had some pretty good statues of her face. And they recreate this image of this woman, and she's, you know, like, they said that she was like 5 feet tall, like a kind of a small person, but like they put her in, like they show her what she would look like then and then now, like if she were just a person like in the world. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow, that is so cool, man. Like,
yeah,
that person looks like a neighbor or something, you know, like just a normal person, man. It's like from all those years ago till now, we haven't really changed that much. I mean, obviously technology and how we've, you know, obviously done some things since then, but what a fascinating road to go down, man. If you ever get a chance, you know, go on YouTube and check some of that stuff out, because it's so cool, man.
Yeah, that was a common practice in ancient Egypt, where they would, the pharaoh would come along and like, you know, remark or even or destroy the their predecessors so that they could establish their dynasty, their dominance, their image as, because, you know, they're gods.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's a really interesting one. I think it's Amun-Re. He was very interesting. And, of course, like you said, product of inbreeding and incest. But he had, like, he came along and he did his style. The art that he got made of him was this weird kind of androgynous looking art.
Yeah.
And it was this really alien-esque.
Uh-huh.
And so that's where a lot of people like touch on like alien DNA.
Right, right.
And such. But it's, you know, these are artistic representations. But they, but like he wasn't like, you know, the more heroic stature. He was this kind of like slight stature. And just a very, and it was a very unusual king or ruler, and you know, and like historically, like just like it was popular, I think, at the time, but like not popular by other rulers,
right? Right.
So they really tried to get rid of a lot of the stuff that he did because he was really trying to change the focus of the prime deity at the time.
Gotcha.
To some other, one of the other deities that was, he claimed to be the, you know, in kinship with, and that doesn't, you know, that didn't flow well with other generations and such.
It's fascinating. That's fascinating. And
I wish that I, you know, again, I wish I could give proper names, but it's been, you know, it's been well over 20 years since I took the art history class where I learned about this
Well, it's cool though that those civilizations were able to keep the records that they were able to, and that we're able to kind of go back and discover, you know, they've got so much area out there in Egypt that they have yet to excavate, that they're just finding these new burial grounds and stuff. So I'm curious to see what that leads to, and it's cool stuff to look at and to learn about. And we're going to learn today about a gentleman that we brought on, a new friend of ours, TJ. He has his own really interesting story to tell about his life, his trials and tribulations, and we are super excited to get to him.
Yes, TJ is an inspiration. He has had a difficult lot in life, but he has also been able to overcome the setbacks that were put, put in front of him, that were dealt to him in life, that a lot of us don't have to deal with. But he just he keeps going, and he keeps accomplishing things, and you know, and just, and he has a positive attitude the whole time. So TJ, thank you so much for joining us. What's your weird story?
Thank you. My story is I was born with a disability. I grew up in Baltimore, and I was adopted at the age of 11. And because of my disability, most people told me I was stupid, but don't know where in life. So I chose not to really listen to them. And I took another direction. I chose to make something out of myself. And so I went and got a bachelor's degree from Mass Music College. I moved out on my own. I started a couple businesses, and I just keep climbing the ladder. Every day I try to make things happen.
Wow.
Dude, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So, where do we start? Where do you start? Where are your starting point? your origin story.
Most of my issues were pretty much in foster care. Then kind of my turning point started when I was adopted, because before I was adopted, everyone told me to think about being stupid, blah, blah, blah. And after I was adopted, my new parents, they treated me basically like anyone else. They said, go where you want to go, learn what you want to learn, do what you want to do. So that's what I did.
Wow.
That's great. How old were you when you were adopted by your parents?
I was 11 going to 12.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. And how long had you been in the foster system?
I think I went in, I think, in Pennsylvania, because I was born in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Went in, I had me and my half-brother, we were both adopted by the same family.
That's
but great. We went into foster care at age 3, and then we went back to my biological dad until like I think it was 5 when he decided to kind of kidnap us and run it down to Florida, where we stopped at a McDonald's. And we were ordering food. We just sat at the table. We kids having fun eating our food. And my dad says he was going to the bathroom. And 2 hours passed. He never came back. So the people next to us wondered where he was. So we didn't know. So they ended up calling the police or whatever. And they ended up putting us in foster care. So I was in foster care probably from 6 or 7 to 11 or 12.
Wow.
Yes, it was a few years. You know, I had my ups and downs. A lot of kids, because I had the disability, people, they didn't really want it. They just kind of socialized with me and treat me like any other person, even the foster parents or even teachers. They didn't want to teach me like any other kid or just socialize with me. So they normally stuck me in the corner and left me alone.
So when you went to school, when you went to college, what did you major in? What was your focus?
I got a bachelor's degree in business management with computers.
Wow.
Emphasis on computers.
Wow.
That's beyond me. That's an area that my brain does not process in. So that's very cool. So backing up, you said that you were basically abandoned at a McDonald's.
Yes. Right?
How old were you then?
I think I was probably 4 or 5.
And your half brother was with you?
Yep, he was. It was me and my half brother, because we never knew our mom.
Hmm.
She
disappeared when we were young, so we barely never knew nothing about her.
Wow.
So, but it's normally been my dad, for the most part, I think his dead biological dad, he might have seen a few times, but for the most part, it was my dad.
Right.
Man. Wow. Wow.
That is just...
That's tough.
That is very tough, but I mean... But, you know, fate works in mysterious ways, you know. You were there, and then, you know, unfortunately, the foster system is... Foster system, it can be great. It can also be just terrible, you know. I mean, but you were fortunate that you got adopted by a family, especially one so supportive, man. That's amazing.
To tell you, to give you a story about, you said the foster system gave me good in, man. Mm-hmm. And not speak bad about my brother, my half brother, not my full brother, but because we both took different paths. He took the path of, like a lot of kids, thinking the world's trying to get him.
Yeah.
So basically, he distanced himself from everyone and just kind of did his own thing. When I chose like a brighter future for myself, it stuck around and everything. So, you know, we did it our book. We did it our way, but, mm-hmm. you know, it says sometimes how kids in foster care, they're put in a situation and then no one's out there to really be there for them.
Yeah.
Help them get somewhere that they can live their life to the fullest, that they have the great thing in life.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you still talk to your brother?
I talked to him a few times, but it's not a whole lot. Mostly it's my doctor, brother, sister, and my parents pretty much. All that pretty much.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have, the adopted?
I was adopted with one brother and one sister.
Okay. And were they older than you?
Yeah, my half brother, then them, so I'm the youngest.
Okay.
Okay. What did they do? I'm just curious, your adopted parents.
What you mean by, like, business-wise?
Yeah. What was there? What, besides being amazing people to adopt some kids, what else did they do? Like, yeah, what was there? What kind of business or what were they?
My kind of whole family, my parents, my brother, my sister, kind of went into, like, IT, computer, the marketing field. So that's why I decided to just follow in the footsteps.
Wow.
That's good, though. And that's really cool because that gave you, obviously, you've already got a support structure, support team there built in, you know, with work and with life. That's pretty cool. And of course, yeah, shared interest, in, I'm sure.
What I went to school for, not really the computer part. I said I started two businesses. The first business was doing the web design, creating websites for people. And for me, it just wasn't, I loved it, but it wasn't bringing in income and everything I needed.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the step back and I focused. I wanted to kind of focus on what's the reason I'm on this earth. what's my passion. And my passion kind of is just helping people, making a difference. And because everyone told me that I have a great story, they loved the way I spoke, and that I decided to become a motivational speaker.
Oh, wow.
And I wrote a book just to kind of share my story and let people know that I did it. I had downfalls in my life, but I rise above them and the bigger and better thing. And they can too. They set the mind in the right place.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
When did you start speaking?
I think about 15 years ago, I did a, it was a free, and it was a big disability conference.
Okay.
I decided to do like a presentation, and I had a pretty good crowd. The people of my story, and I think in the first presentation I did, I was talking about living on my own, how I did that. And one of the guys who was in the wheelchair and his mom, they were curious about how they can live on their own with so many issues he has, like physical-wise and all that. And they were just curious how he can do that and make it happen for themselves. It gave a signal to me that I must be doing something right. And it made me happy that I actually reached someone, my story, and made a difference.
That's amazing.
That is awesome. Did you take any speech, your speech making type? Public speaking class. That's what I'm trying to think. Public speaking classes.
When it was at college, I took the choir to do some kind of speaking class.
Yeah.
And to tell you kind of a little about me, how I came when I was younger, I could be like, I didn't want to speak. I couldn't speak. All I did is shake my head. Yes or no. I was kind of get that shyness, nervousness inside of me. So I didn't really speak. But over the years, I started opening up. And just after I started, sharing my story, I just started getting used to it, and now I still get nervous, but it's almost like second nature.
That's great.
I don't get really bad nervousness anymore.
That's good.
That is awesome.
That a little bit of nerves is always a good thing when you're, you know, because that's the body's way of preparing itself for, you know, like you're turning on all the light bulbs and you're getting, you know, you're getting all that, all the brain activity happening and your heightened sense of awareness and all that is a good thing. When I was a freshman in high school, my mom, she made me, the two things she required of me were that I took typing and I took speech. And I was terrified to take speech because I think, like most young people, you don't want to be like put in a situation where you're not in control and you're being put on display. And it was the best choice that I ever could have made because it opened up a door for me and it, you know, I was able to express myself in a way that I had never done before. I never had that opportunity. And, it was, it was great. And I think that, I think most kids, if they can do something like that and make themselves get up in front of people and try to put a thought together or something like that, it really does help develop your social awkwardness in front of people, you know?
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that the biggest fear that people have in general is speaking in public. It's what terrorizes people the most. It's what gives them the largest fear. And, you know, it can be obviously very intimidating because you want to present yourself well. You want to make it sound like you know what you're talking about. And you want to keep the audience's attention. But also there's that thing about, you know, not wanting to be the center of attention and
right.
the focus of all those eyes, and it's, you know, creates great anxiety in people. And the fact that you're able to get out there and do it and be a motivational speaker, which is, you know, probably the hardest type, because you get out, you inspire people, and you're sharing very, you know, your story is, it's got its, like you said, it's got its ups and downs. You're sharing, you know, being very intimate with yourself and sharing that. And that's it, you know, I mean, that's a whole other kind of fear and intimidation and anxiety producing situation.
Yeah.
Definitely. What I kind of think when you said the word, I like kind of what ties in is the word try. A lot of people don't like to try and take that first step, so they kind of never know if they don't. To me, if you don't try at least once, you'll never know if you're gonna fail or if it'll be the best success you ever had, the greatest thing ever to happen in your life. You'll never know unless you take that first step.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Every journey begins with the first step. So there you have it.
And oftentimes, too, the scariest propositions in life that, you know, that would hold a person back are often the ones that make you grow the most. And I think that's important that you keep doing that in life, too, is that you keep trying different things the older that you get, just to remind yourself that, you know, there's always an opportunity to grow as a person, and it helps, I think, relate to people in a way. You know, anybody that gets stuck in those situations where they, you know, they just think there's nothing more to learn, and that's usually not a good sign, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's important to keep that youthfulness about the human condition alive for as long as you can, because there's always something to learn.
Yes.
What would you say? Okay. What are your main points that you share with everybody when you're doing your public speaking?
My main thing is, either, no matter what your situation, a disability, race, color, age, gender, whatever it is, just, you know, quit listening to the naysayers in life that are trying to put you down and limit you from getting the top of the mountain, where the greatest things are, and keeping you at the bottom of the mountain, that past them and trying to surround yourself with people that help you get up that mountain and kind of give you a push and not just try and hold.
Yeah, that's that's important. Yeah, keeping good people around you that are supportive is huge. And it sounds like that you had that from your adoptive family, which is, you know, I mean, that is the most important thing a kid can have, because it gives you that sense of, you know, if I fail, I got somebody that can help, you know, mm-hmm. and that'll be there for me. And that's an amazing thing to have. A lot of people don't have that. You were lucky mm-hmm. in that way.
The way I think of it is like floating on cloud nine. That's how great it was. That's how much it changed my life. Is having the greatest people in my corner. Because my life could have turned out the way that they said it would.
Right.
It didn't. And I had the people that turned out in my life, that were brought in my life, that make it what it is today.
Why do you think that is? Do you have an idea about why you were chosen to end up in a situation that was positive for your growth? I mean, do you ever think about that, or?
I know a lot of people, they get the thing about religion or God. They like to stay away from that.
Uh-huh.
Me, I like my belief in God is heavy. So I like to think that God is what put me in that situation. Because he saw the potential and knew that I would go big places. And he was telling leave me down in the trenches where I was.
Sure. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with it, because that is, you know, out of all the stories that you hear about people, and people have a lot, just people that don't have disabilities can make up a whole host of reasons why they haven't been able to do the things in their life. And when you hear a story like yours, you see that you can overcome a lot of these obstacles if you just have, again, I mean, the importance of good friends and family, it's huge, because as a young kid, that, you know, that shapes the way that you see things and what's possible. And I just think that's a big message, you know?
Yeah. Is it now to ask about your disability, if that's all right? What is it, cerebral palsy that you have?
Yes, and my cerebral palsy is like autism.
Okay,
a wide range of everything.
Yeah,
you have like a severe case or just a light case. Anywhere in between. I ended up getting more of a light case. So, you know, my mind works better than ever, but my muscles are weak. They work, but they're weak.
Yeah.
That's pretty much where my disability kind of surrounds itself, is my muscle-wise.
Yeah, but your mind muscle—that's the one that's really flexing and really impressing people, that's for sure.
Most important thing, because then the mind is what makes everything else work.
That's right.
Do you have what's your mode of transportation? How do you get around?
I have but a few of my friends that are really good at it. They can help me, but I also get a service from the state of Florida that, like, they have a few people that come in to help me clean, cook, you know, help me whatever I need. And then also to take me out to do whatever in the community, go shopping, do fun things, go to the mall, go bowling.
Sure.
Whatever I want to do and just do it. Most of my things surrounds around service that I get, but I do have the friends that some of my friends that actually come where I get in the car or that can actually help me drive-wise the transfer into the vehicle and then put my wheelchair in the trunk. You know, that's how it is. So
yeah,
I have friends that can do that. Some friends just do not. Their strength wise isn't there. So our friendship is on a different, like a different level.
Sure. What's your favorite thing to do? Like if you have a day where you can do anything you want to do, what's your favorite thing?
It's pretty much anything outside. I'm more of an outside person, so okay. I don't actually. They make a system. They call it sit skiing. It's where you actually get the experience, like regular water skiing, but you're sitting down in a board and you actually pulled up in the back of a boat, like regular water skiing. But you actually, you have to be standing. So if your legs, like, maybe don't work, you can actually, it's an opportunity that you can experience it, and maybe not the same as most people would, but you still get the experience it in your own way.
That's cool.
I love that I had, they actually came a newspaper to the boy when I first got to experience it, and the whole time and the biggest smile on my face. It was the greatest thing I know.
That's awesome. That's great.
Wow. This has been great. And it kind of goes along with the fact that if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything, because this is about the third or fourth time that we've tried to do this interview, and we kept running into technical issues on our side, but we finally got it done, and it's been this has been really just it's been incredible. We really appreciate you taking out time to talk to us and tell us about your story. And, you know, it is very much about rising above and, you know, and having the right people around you, and just family and love. And that's awesome, dude.
Absolutely.
Okay, let me tell you what's the question asking. What's the weirdest question that you could ask? Just what it is. The weirdest thing you could ask.
What's the weirdest thing that we could ask you?
Yeah. whatever it is.
Do you date? Do you have a, girlfriend? Do you have a love life or anything like that?
Okay. It was my point that I was trying to get at, but nah, I dated a little bit, but I never, really, I guess, met that person when it just, they were good, but I had people like romantic in my life, but my kind of the way I asked, but the way I think is, the way the strangest question people with disabilities or in wheelchairs get a lot of time is, can people in wheelchairs have sex? That just, it boggles me, because you have to open your mind, because, you know, if you get, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything you want to do.
I love it. That's great.
It's this. It bugs me to see how people can ask that kind of question when, I guess, I tell people jokingly, but to be serious, I'm serious, but I jokingly say, if you really don't believe me and you want to know, come back.
You prove it to him.
Oh, man.
That's great.
That's awesome. I was going to say, I was just going to ask if you've seen any UFOs, but, you know, there's Barry, you know.
I had to go there. I have a childlike mind.
I mean, you know, I was thinking it, okay, but was raised properly, so, you know, to be a lady, I mean, not a lady, but, you know, dogs.
That's great.
Oh, man. This has been great. Thanks again so much. How can people follow you? Do you have social media?
I have a couple of Facebooks. Because with Facebook, you are only, like, they limit your friends. So I kind of created multiple accounts so I can have, like, there are multiple people so I can get my word out more.
Yeah, yes.
Also, I have a website, which is www.disabilityspeaker.org.
Okay.
And pretty much, it tells a lot about me. It gives different testimonials. That also has a link to my book, which is called The Squeaky Widget.
Squeaky Widget.
Wheelchair.
Oh, wheelchair.
Yes.
Sorry.
Nice.
We'll make sure we'll edit my mistake out. The Squeaky Wheelchair. And that's www.disabilityspeaker.org, right?
Correct.
Cool deal. All right. Awesome. And obviously, Barry's going to... Probably, this is Barry's next question. Do you have an OnlyFans that people can follow you? Okay.
I thought of it.
Well, you know, hey, you can accomplish anything.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Awesome, all brother. Right. Thank you so DJ, much, man.
Thanks again, man. This has been great.
Hey, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need a new ad for our merch store.
Our merch store?
I've had a few people reach out to me and ask me, just how do we get What's Your Weird Story merch?
Huh. How do we get that What's Your Weird Story merch?
What's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story, dot myspreadshop.com.
That's what's dash your, spelled Y-E-R dash weird dash story dot myspreadshop.com.
That's correct. Get in touch with us. Go buy some merch. We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? If any of our listeners out there has some really cool ideas or has some really cool What's Your Weird Story type art that they want to see on a t-shirt, get a hold of us. Maybe it'll happen.
TJ, thanks for coming on. Inspirational story. You know, proof that you can do anything you set your mind to. Mm-hmm. What the origin story of, you know, having a rough childhood and getting adopted into a good family and helping him achieve his goals. It's just, it's great. I always love listening to these stories that are just inspirational, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It is incredibly inspirational. Just like you said, you know, being abandoned by not knowing his mother, your birth mother, being abandoned by your birth father, but, you know, being bounced around and treated cruelly in the foster system, yeah. You know, and unfortunately, you know, having a disability like cerebral palsy, you know, that makes people think that you are, you know, you don't have the mental capacity of others.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly TJ does. He's a very bright guy. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, so he started, went to college, he started businesses, he's a motivational speaker. You know, it's a great, you know, it shows you one of those, it's definitely one of those things where it shows you that if you have a good, strong support system and encouragement, then you can, you know, you can accomplish anything, especially if you believe in yourself and you have people to believe in you and you really push towards it. There's no reason that you can't. Well, I mean, yeah, there's no reason you can't. You got to be positive and you got to just, you know, attack it and adjust to the situation and make things happen.
Yeah. He, you know, a good sense of humor goes a long way, too.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the thing that we can all share in is that when we can laugh together, that makes things, you know, so much more whole as a species, as a human race. We can learn from one another when, you know, somebody's coming from a background that we know nothing about, you know. It's great. And it helps whenever you have people in your life that are there for you and that, you know, you've got a place that you can get some little bit of encouragement from, mm-hmm. you can get a little bit of guidance, you know, all that kind of stuff really helps. And he's been, you know, fortunate in that respect and it's helped him get to where he wants to be. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun, man. And, proof again, man, that these stories are so, you know, specific to the person. They're all original, interesting stories that people have, and we would love to have you on our show. Please contact us, get in touch with us. We want to talk to you. We want you to share your story, share your experiences, man.
We would love that. We've got so much coming down the barrel for you for the end of the year now. Next week, we're going to have for you our holiday special. And the following week will be our Weird News of the Year roundup. And then we'll be kicking into 2025 with we already got some good stuff coming.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, you guys are not going to believe the good goods that we've got. But you know what? We want to add your goods to the goodie pot. We want your goods. Show us your goods. Or share your goods with us. You know, let us hear all about it. Share your stories. Come on. Be part of the party here in Weirdsville. We would love to talk to you and get to know you and share some stories and share some laughs and some, you know, connection, some that genuine human connection that we all need more of.
Absolutely.
You know, so we appreciate TJ coming on. We appreciate all the guests that we've had this year. It's been an amazing year, probably one of the best years that we've had.
Absolutely, you know, man.
And the diversity and just incredible stories.
Yeah.
Incredible people.
Yeah, it's been an amazing year. Thank you to everyone that's listened and come on. Yep. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and we've learned a lot this year. You know, we've learned from our guests. We've learned from our own research. We've learned from digging through our memories. Akhenaten was the name of that pharaoh. Okay. I was trying to think cool. of earlier. I just wanted to make sure I got that out because somebody's going to be yelling at me. And so it was Akhenaten, who was King Tut's father.
Okay.
I believe.
Cool.
He was depicted as kind of like he had an elongated face. He had wide hips like a woman and kind of I guess either moobs or breasts.
Yeah, yeah.
He was weirdly represented.
Yeah.
Maybe he was an alien. Who knows? But
yeah, yeah.
That's who I was thinking of. But now, who I'm thinking of is all of you guys out there in Weirdsville. Thank you so much for your support. We hope you have good holiday seasons. Whatever it is you celebrate or don't here at the end of the year, we want you guys to be safe and be happy and be joyful. Remember to gather stories from your friends and your neighbors and family members. Somebody asked me recently, they're like, what's a good conversation starter? I'll tell you what a good conversation starter is. You ask somebody, what's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to you?
There you go.
And of course, the first thing there's going to be two responses immediately. Somebody's going to be like just waiting someone to ask them this question.
Yeah.
Or they're going to, you know, beg it off and they're going to be like, oh, no, I don't know. I can't think of anything. I can't tell you that.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you do in the second case is you wait till, you know, a couple hours later after everybody's had some drinks and, you know, the Christmas party's been having a good time. And then you ask them.
Yeah.
And then you find out. And then you tell them about our podcast and come on and share your stories and bring your friends on to share their stories and all that good stuff. We love it. And we love you guys. So thanks again so much for making 2024 an incredible year.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I couldn't say it better. I think 2025 is going to be another banner year for sure.
I'm going to kick ass. I know it. And it's you guys are involved and invited. So let's do it. Until then, we will see you next week. For our holiday Christmas party with me and Barry and our adopted pod daughter and special correspondent and the Queen of List, Tilly. And then, you know, the following week with the weird news of 2025. And boy, it just keeps coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
2024, it just keeps coming. So, yeah. You know,
yeah, I mean, for sure.
Every day, you know, what's this? What do you mean? What is this? The drones in New Jersey.
Right.
You know, yeah. Who knows? But in 2 weeks time, we may have the answer. 2 weeks time, we may be fighting off Martians. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm looking forward to it either way.
We'll be reporting it to you in that in just a short amount of time. So until then, be safe.
Be weird.
As always,
If you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.